Welcome to the transformative teaching of Pastor Mavis C.O.G., whom God has called in this generation to raise a community of Christ-like believers who are purpose-driven, passionately ablaze for God, and set for global impact. Get ready to encounter wisdom and power as these words will cause a remarkable shift in your life.
Amen. Wow. We're close to the month of October. And I'm sure that God has already spoken to us. Let me just prepare our hearts. Our online meeting on the 1st of October, that's Wednesday. So our regular morning prayer will be extended a little bit. We'll have a nice time of praise, worship, giving God thanks for bringing us into the month. And I will introduce the theme for the month. You know, whilst I was preparing, you know, just this week, just brooding over a few things and all that, one of the things that God has showed me for the month of October is that we are going to have strange acts of God. It's going to be our month of the strange acts of God. Hallelujah. And on Wednesday morning, we usually start by 6 a.m., so we'll be stretching to like 6 to 7:30 thereabouts. So we'll be about 1 hour, 30 minutes online on YouTube. I want you to connect. I'll be showing us the how to engineer and initiate the strange acts of God in your life. So I want to encourage everyone to ensure that you're part of that meeting. Don't miss it. You want to start preparing your heart for that glorious encounter. Amen. We also have good news this morning. Our devotional for the month of October is out. Yeah, it's a very beautiful one, and it's quite loaded. I will encourage every one of us to ensure that you pay a lot of attention to studying the Word of God intentionally. Take a line of thought every morning from the devotional and brood over it. Just that line of thought, you pick it, brood over it. Then any other thing that God adds to your heart and to your spirit, it's a good addition. You know, you want to brood over it. You want to spend time to just pray. That is how people grow in this kingdom. Growth is not just automatic. There are certain things you do to grow. So I want to encourage everyone to ensure that you join and start to get your devotional this morning to be outside there. Then not for yourself alone. You want to get for somebody else. You want to help somebody else in their faith. I've had a couple of times where people said to me, oh, Pastor, you know those days, when you get born again those days, one of the things we used to encourage other believers then, because we didn't have phones to reach out to them, and we'll get books and give to them so that they can read and report when they come back to church next week. So you give the person a book, and the person goes back and they read and they come, wow, it was such a powerful material. I read this, I saw this. Then you also start sharing from what you have known in that material, that source. That was how we're able to disciple people. Unfortunately, it's supposed to be easier now, but it's becoming quite a lot more difficult, and I don't know why, but I think we can go back to a method that works. You want to read something today and call the other person and say, oh, I read something like this today. What did you see in it? How far? How did it go? And the person is sharing with you like, oh, the line of thought made a lot of sense. I read the scripture under, blah, blah, blah. Before you know it, you spend 10 minutes mentoring and discipling somebody for that day. Our church is not designed for personal isolated personal growth. I believe that people can grow together in community. I believe that people can grow and strengthen themselves. It doesn't have to be you alone growing and just saying, I just like my space. Your space you like, fine, but God doesn't like you having your space alone. You need to invite other people into your space and be a blessing to their lives. Do we understand what I'm saying here, church? That's how it's supposed to be. When Jesus called one of the disciples, Peter, he called Andrew, he called his brother immediately. He said, come, come. Nathaniel, they rushed out. Nathaniel, we have seen the Messiah. Come, come. Every time people are called to God, they call somebody else. So it's important. The month of October is going to be a good one for us, I'm sure. And for those of us who, this month of November, September, you have not received the full package of the things that you know God will do for you. Expectation is the mother of manifestation. There's nothing too serious that God cannot do between today, Sunday, and Wednesday. There's nothing too serious. He's the Almighty God. Just let your heart be stirred in faith and say, God, September will not end until I get this thing. If a man could stand and say, sun, stand still, moon, stand still, you can say 3 days, hold on until I get this result. Until I make this thing happen. Somebody reached out, I think I was sharing with us, that the document that was supposed to take maybe about 3 months to process and everything, one of the meetings, she just believed God and told herself that it's possible for me to say it will happen. One of our people outside the country, and I need this document, blah, blah, blah. She was shocked to see that the date she fixed, they sent an email and everything came. It was swift. She almost could not believe it. And there are some things that happen, you almost cannot believe. Is this real? Did they make a mistake? When did I send it? You went to check when you sent your application. And when it came out, they're like, I don't understand. Strange acts of God. Are we here together? So I want to charge every one of us to be on. Let's get into our discussion for today. Welcome to church. Look at your neighbor again, left and right, and tell the person, welcome to church. No, you didn't do that. You're just, again, you want to do your isolation. Look at somebody and tell the person, welcome to church. Yeah, so this morning I'll be sharing with us, I told us from Tuesday already that I have, apart from the teaching series that we're going to build on in the month of October and all that, I have things that I want to share. Usually I have those times where I'm just reflecting and I want to share something. Then Tuesday happens to be one of them. Then, while I was still reflecting what I would share on Sunday, I just laid in my heart to continue what you picked up on Tuesday and share it on Sunday so that the whole church will be beneficiaries of that. And that's what I'm going to be doing today. But it's coming, the general thing that is slightly different, but the unique message itself is God needs somebody. Look at your neighbor and say, God needs somebody. Then the general theme is serving God's purpose. Amen. Serving God's purpose. Serving God's purpose. The first thing you need to understand is that you were created for a purpose. You were created for a purpose. I will continue to emphasize it. It's not something I'm going to stop in a hurry because it's at the center of my call to help people discover why are we here? Why am I here? Why am I alive? What am I doing? Why am I marrying? Why am I giving birth to children? Why am I raising my children? Why am I here? Now, the question of purpose is one question that you cannot overemphasize. You have to keep saying it because by the day, many more people are dying without fulfilling God's purpose for their lives. A life that is lived outside purpose is a colossal is a colossal waste of life. That you came and you lived and you died without fulfilling God's purpose. You just had a career. You just had a job. You just had a business. You just made some money. You just waste of life if it is outside God's purpose. And that's why you have to consistently ask yourself, in this season of my life, at this phase, what would God have me do with my life, you know, in my 20s, in my 30s, in my 40s, in my 50s, I'm a grandfather, what would God have me do with my life? Because for every stage of your life, God has something that He will want you to do with your life. As long as you are alive, you are here because there is a reason. You have not, if your time expires, you will live here. That you are alive, regardless, especially when you are now healthy and you can move around. Even those who are sick, God has purpose for their lives to heal them and use their situation as a testimony, and they will still do what God will have them do. God is not a waster. God doesn't waste life. The oxygen is not too much on earth, and God wants to waste many more. He kept the ecological system balanced for the number of volume of people coming to the face of the earth, because He has assignments for them to do. Are we here together? Yeah, it's not a waste. I don't waste anything. Let's just give enough oxygen and let them just be walking around. No. Subdue the earth, replenish the earth, fill it so that my purpose, my glory will be seen all over the face of the earth. So in teaching serving God's purpose today, my emphasis will be that God needs somebody that will rise and say, I'm going to, you know, take on the challenge of doing what God will have me do. Somebody that will rise and say, I will not live like a non-entity on the face of the planet Earth. I will not just live an ordinary life. I want to live a life that is meaningful, a life that will count, a life that will be a major blessing to my family, to my community, to my world. And that the kingdom of God will benefit largely from my existence. Why did God create you, put you on the face of planet Earth, and your life will not add any value to Him? It doesn't make any sense. Just think about it. Every product serves the purpose of the manufacturer. Every product serves the purpose of the manufacturer. It makes the manufacturer excited, you know, gives pleasure to the manufacturer, so that at the end of the day, when you see that product selling in the market, you're able to say, I made that product. Just imagine the owners of some of the exotic cars that we drive around the world today. The owners of those cars, the manufacturers of those cars, they're excited to see the fulfillment that it brings when people are driving those cars. They're excited to see the joy that people have in their face when they enter their cars and they're coming out well. Just imagine the joy and the excitement in the heart of an engineer who has struggled to build a house maybe for 6 months to 1 year. There is this excitement. Sometimes you want to bring your friends and say, come and see, there's this house I want you to see. Somebody wants to build another one. Then you say, let's drive down to somewhere. Let me show you something I have done before. Am I making sense here? That is how God wants to bring somebody to the face of planet Earth who is about to start their life. And He says, let's drive down to so-so-so house. Let me show you this lady. I built her life. Let me show you this man. I built his life. Let me show you this person. They serve my purpose on the face of the planet Earth. I came to pray for somebody today in the name of Jesus, that no one here will live a purposeless life. No one here will live a life that does not count. In the name of Jesus. Sometimes purpose looks very sophisticated. I have a book on that, The Journey. You want to read through so that you can pick line for line and see how God will help you, you know, so that you can identify your unique, specific purpose. But sometimes purpose usually starts from the general. When you identify a problem and you see that you can meet that need or solve that problem, and you start, that's the beginning of purpose. Sometimes it doesn't have to be extraordinarily sophisticated where you are thinking of, you know, how do I go this? No. It can just start from where you are with an imminent problem, and God is saying, solve this problem. That is how it starts. David's purpose did not start until he saw a need. Goliath was standing there and, you know, defiled the armies of the living God. And the Bible says that David, look, he said, who art thou, uncircumcised Philistine, that defiles the army of the living God? He said, today I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and they will feast on you. Why? He said, to the glory of God, so that they will know that there is a God in Israel. I will serve the purpose of God. Am I communicating, church? So in order not to just go, you need to understand that instead of, you know, watching how men will encounter the wrath of God and see all the wickedness happening on the face of the earth, you want to step in. Some people always ask questions like, how would you tell me God needs anything? God doesn't need anybody. Anything God wants, He knows how to get it. Anything, it's a lie. God has needs that can be met. God has a lot of needs, and many people are not stepping in. God, as large as the face of the earth is, with over how many billion people now, going to 8 billion people on the face of the planet earth, God goes around and is searching for a man, and sometimes He just cannot find. There's somebody that God is searching for in your family that will break the backbone of poverty and raise the head, but that person is still stingy. And when the siblings are called, I don't have it, nobody should support me. But God is raising you for that purpose. God wants to establish you as a model, as an example of a kingdom man or woman that can be a financially prosperous person and expand things in the family. But you're just saying, I cannot do that. Sometimes God wants to use you as a model, an example of something spectacular. But most of the times, that's what you're running away from. And we have to be careful so that we don't run away from God's purpose for our lives. We have to be careful. Just imagine David said, I'm not going to kill any. What if I die? Kill Goliath. Who wants to try that rubbish? I'm not killing Goliath. I've killed lion. I've killed bear. It's okay. Goliath, destroy the nation if you like. All I'm just sure of is that when all of you become slaves, if I can kill lion and kill bear, I'll find it somewhere and just get my own country for myself. I'm sure. Let Goliath come and meet me face to face. Then I'll know what to do with him. But for all of you, let Goliath must taunt you, trouble your lives. But David said, no, I will rise. I will take, you know, the lead. I will do something about it. And he stood and he's killed Goliath. And the Bible says that the children of Israel, after they had killed Goliath, you can imagine the kind of peace that they had in the land, because Goliath had terrorized them. Every Goliath that is terrorizing your family, every Goliath that is terrorizing your health, every Goliath that is terrorizing your career and your marriage, I pray today that you will rise as God's David and you will silence its voice in the name of Jesus. I didn't hear you say a louder amen, church. So one of the amazing things that I have discovered personally in my walk with God is to see that God has needs. He created men for himself. He can do everything. He can do anything he wants to do. But he still goes around to look for men. Meaning that God is not going to force you to do something. He will come to see if you are willing to do it. The Bible says in the book of Deuteronomy, he said, Abraham told them, he said, only those who are willing and obedient. Only those who are willing. In the book of Job, he said, if you'll be willing and obedient, you shall eat of the good of the land. Willing and obedient. So God is saying, I need people, but I will not force it on you. I need people, but I will not do it in such a way that it's as if I have to kill you to get what I want. No, I will ask if you will give me a helping hand. Somebody in this month, in the month of October, God will be desiring that you give him a helping hand to support. Many times we pray and say, God, help me. And sometimes God looks at the face of the earth and he says, man, help me. Help me. Help me. There are a lot of things I want to do here. And according to the law of territories, God will not step into the territory that he has created for men. The Bible says the heavens are the Lord, the earth they are for the sons of men. He supervises things happening there, but he has kept managers. Men are God's managers on the face of the planet earth. And it will be very terrible for him to just come, shift us, and do whatever he wants to do. It will not make sense. So he will always want to use us. He's a God that goes through. If God has created a system, he will always use his system to achieve his purposes. He will not go against it. Is anybody getting what I'm saying here? So get to understand that God needs men. Despite his capacity as God, he still says, I need people. Ezekiel chapter 22 verse 30. Let me build it up from there. Ezekiel chapter 22 verse 30. I pray that God will speak to somebody's heart today. I don't know the direction, but I'm sure that God will speak to somebody's heart today. And somebody will rise up and take the challenge. It's not a message you will hear and just sit down. It's a message you listen to, you hear, and you say, what must I do now? That's it. Everybody, church, can we read it together in concert? One, two, go. Yeah. I sought for a man amongst them. Anytime God wants to do something, he doesn't go very far. And the same thing with your life. Everything you need to make whatever happen in your life is around you. God doesn't put what you need too far. He puts it very close. Just get that principle. I want you to let it stick. Everything you need around you. Many times we were looking for something very far. We need somebody very far. We need that. No. God is everything you need around you is just there. Abraham needed to make a sacrifice. Isaac was close. But God knew that, okay, I won't use Isaac. He still made sure that the ram will be very close. You get what I'm saying now? Hagar was looking for water, and God would have said, Hagar, you know what? Now that you are thirsty, you are going to walk 360 kilometers to get water now. No, he said, just look around, woman. There's water around you. Everything you need is always around you. So the people that God needs, they are also around. So anytime God wants to do something somewhere, he looks for somebody around. Hi. Blessed be that man who opened up himself to God. Jesus needed a boat sometime, you know, to do his evangelistic ministry when the crowd was so much and they were pressing on him and he didn't want to stay on land. Probably don't kill me. So he decided to use the boat. And when he looked around, he said, please, I need a boat. Then Peter said, take my own. Immediately Jesus used the boat of Peter. The next day, the Bible says that Peter had toiled all night and he didn't have anything to catch. Jesus showed up and he said, cast your net on this other side. Other people will be struggling with their lives, but the man who gave Jesus a boat will never lack a fish. Are you getting what I'm saying here? Because Jesus decided to, and he yielded. A young boy showed up one day in a meeting where Jesus was holding a crusade and he wanted to feed 5,000 people, men alone, apart from children and women. 5,000 men. If you have 5,000 men in a meeting, and let's assume that 3,000 of them are bachelors, then 2,000 are married men, that means you have 2,000 extra women. Is that not? Extra women, 2,000 women, then each of these women assume that they have an average of 2 or 3 children. Those days they give birth a lot. You can imagine 12. One person had 2. So you can imagine that. So just imagine that the person had an average of 4 children. 4 times that number. That's the crowd Jesus wanted to feed. And all of a sudden, a young boy, you know, heard that Jesus wanted to feed the crowd. And he started thinking to himself, what do I have to offer? Anytime in need, some people say, I don't have anything. You have something to offer. You have a gift. You have a voice. You have an ability to write. You have an ability to talk. You have a hand. There is something you have. God will never ask you for something if he has not made it available. Whatever God calls for, he provides for. Write it down. Whatever God calls for, he provides for. Anytime God is calling for something, he has provided for it already. Abraham, he said, I have provided for myself a lamb for the sacrifice. I have provided for myself. Glory to God. So the young boy went in and it was his lunch, because fish and bread happens to be the common food of the day. And this was what this boy was supposed to eat for dinner, most likely, and maybe breakfast, you know. And he picked the bread and he brought it to one of the disciples of Jesus Christ. And when he gave it to the disciple said, what is this among so many? In other words, the disciple commonized what the boy brought. The disciple looked at what the boy brought as nothing. It will not add to anything here. And that's how some people have looked at your gift before, your talent, your ability, your input. And as a result of that, you got discouraged. And you said to yourself, okay, since they don't want it, let's leave it. But now Jesus said, no. Jesus saw it immediately. Jesus said to them, he said, bring them here to me. Go back. Not this. Go back again. Verse 16 or something thereabout. While he was eating, the disciples came to him saying, this is a deserted place and the hour is already late. Send the multitude away that they may go up into the village and buy themselves food. But Jesus said to them, they do not need to go away. You give them something. Verse 17. And they said to him, we have here only 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Now you see, that's the funny thing about it. Matthew's accounts did not record the boy that brought it. But if you check the other account, I think it was Luke or each of them, recorded the account that there was a young boy here that had it. Are we getting what I'm saying now? That will lead me to something I'm going to share about the writers of the gospel so that you will get to understand the basis. So Matthew's account here did not record that it was a young boy, but you try and look out for the account that recorded that it was a young boy that did it. So he said, you give them something. We can't tell them to go. We have to give them something to eat. And it was a young boy that brought the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And as soon as he presented it, the disciple that he brought it to said, what is this among so many? In other words, what are we going to do with these 5 loaves and 2 fishes amongst so many people? What is my own singing amongst these beautiful singers? What is my own writing amongst all the professional authors in the world that are writing? Why do I need to join people that are into so business when there are so many people doing it already? What does God want to do with it? What's my own skill in designing when we have professional designers that have gone around the world? What is it that you think I can do? Sometimes we think that way because we think we don't have anything to offer. Please look for it. It's something you can search for very fast. So Jesus Christ took it, and the Bible says that when he looked at it, he gave thanks to God. In other words, anything that you are and whoever you are, when God has need of you, instead of complaining, you say, God, thank you because I am privileged to be used by you. Thank you because I am privileged. He said, there is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. He said, but what are they among so many? John, very good. Next verse now. Then Jesus said, make people sit down. And now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down in number, about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish as much as they wanted. So when they were filled, they said to his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain so that nothing is left. Jesus wanted to teach them a lesson that what you thought was nothing, what you thought would not make sense, can make a whole lot of sense. And I will even get extra from it. I can turn that little gift to a whole company. I can turn 5 loaves and 2 fishes to a whole bakery. I can't do that. Therefore, he gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which were left over by those who had eaten. He showed us again. He said, with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, he filled how many baskets? 12 baskets. How did that happen? So a miracle happens when you yield yourself. A miracle happens when you make yourself available. When God says, I need somebody, and you make yourself available, you never know how much your life will become to God in his agenda. Are we here together now? You never know how much. Now, in the account of the writers of the gospel, you know, Matthew wrote this gospel. We have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. In Matthew's account, you see that Matthew did not tell us about the little boy. Are we here together now? So we wouldn't have known about the story of the little boy that brought five loaves and two fishes. We would never have known of that account. But John sat one day. John would have said, Matthew has written the gospel already. I don't need to write anything. Because four of them are called gospels. And if you read the gospels, you realize that all of them are giving account about the person of Jesus and his early days. True or false? One person would have said, since Matthew has written, let's forget about gospel. Can we just move to something else? Acts of the Apostles and just move on. But no. John said, let me write my own also. Peradventure, there is something Matthew did not capture that I will capture. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here right now? Look at Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. The same thing happened there. The same thing. Luke chapter 1. Go from verse 1. I want to show you how that you count. Your own is important. Don't think you are not important in the scheme of things. God cannot use me. No, you count. There's something God wants to do. Look at it now. In as much as many have taken in hand. Now do TPT or NLT. It will be very easy. King James is giving us 18th century grammar. Okay, can you see it right now? Many people have set out to write accounts about the events that have happened fulfilled amongst us. They use the eyewitness report circulating among us from the early disciples. Having carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I also have decided to write a careful account for you, most honorable Theophilus. Having investigated everything, can you see now? So you can be certain of the truth of everything we were taught. Now listen, having carefully investigated, I know John has written his own. I know Matthew has written his own. I know Mark has written his own. He said, well, there's nothing bad if I decide to write my own also. There's nothing bad if I decide to yield myself also. There's nothing bad if I decide to give myself also. He says, so Theophilus, it will take me a lot of time, but having carefully investigated, peradventure there is something Matthew missed, I will cover it. Peradventure there is something John missed, I will cover it. Peradventure there is something Mark missed, I will cover it. That little thing you think you don't have to offer might be the addition to the puzzle that will bring the perfect answer. You might just be the game changer. And can I tell you, among the writers of the gospel, only Luke wrote like this, and Luke was the game changer. Oh, go read all the gospel. Go read all the gospel. Luke was the game changer. Luke happens to be a physician, and he had a more educational exposure. As a result of that, in his writing, you could see the way he put it. Having carefully investigated things from the beginning, I have also decided to write a careful account for you. A careful account. Write a careful account. So I don't know how Mark wrote. It's okay. I'm not criticizing Mark. Can you see that? I don't know how Luke, John wrote. It's okay. I'm not criticizing Joe. I don't know what Matthew has written. They're fine. But I have decided to do my own careful account. There's a book on medical health, and you're a medical expert. God says, write, write it. You see, there are professionals that have written already. There's something circulating online, and everybody has written their own. And there's everybody has made money in that sense. I don't want to write. Write it. Yours might be the game changer. So let's start. Number one, God needs somebody to stand the gap between God and man. He needs somebody. Oh, no. I used to be a very terrible person. I lived a very terrible life. I don't think God will listen to my prayer. Pray! It's your own prayer that God wants to listen to. I shared with them on Friday night at the supernatural while I was seated there and I was about to come up to lead. The Holy Spirit just dropped my heart. That was the first time I was going to receive it in that way. So I started trying to search out. Of course, it looks simple, but sometimes you just know this is the first time this will come to my head. And God said to me, every unique voice in the congregation is a unique spice. And I listen to everyone in a unique way. They bring a special fragrance and aroma. That means if one person sits down in the service and refuses to worship, a unique fragrance will be missing from the incense. And I said, what? It sounded differently to me. So I went to the book of Revelation and it said the prayers of the saints come as incense before God. I said, wow. So you sit in church and you feel so tired. I said, let them be doing the praise and worship. I'm not interested. You are not praising and worshiping for your personal excitement. We praise and worship as food to God. So if you are the one that's supposed to add a special shrimps, you didn't add shrimps for God that day. You're supposed to add a special spice of maybe, you know, your garlic flavor, your ginger flavor, your cinnamon, or, you know, something you were supposed to add. But you said, nah, my praise is not needed. My worship is not there. And God is saying, hey, there's this flavor I like. I didn't see it today. And you are that flavor. You are that unique spice. And that's why whenever we gather to worship, nobody's supposed to just sit down and say, well, let them just do it. The professionals are singing. There are no professionals anywhere. Sometimes you'll be shocked to know that tiny little drop That little drop of your unique flavor will make all the whole difference in heaven. And maybe an angel will say, Kai, come and see the heart singing today. Did you know this person went through this week and is still singing? That, you know, the flavor that comes from a heart that has been through a lot is thicker than the flavor that is coming from a heart that is just overjoyed because of what God has done. Come on, listen. The kind of flavor that comes from a heart, listen, if you pick a leaf, Holy Spirit, why am I preaching this? This is what I'm going to preach. Let's just listen. I'm going somewhere, but I believe God is speaking to somebody. If I pick this leaf, one or two of the leaves like that, and I bring it, and I tell you to feel the fragrance, when you smell it, you might not be able to get so much. But when I juice it out, it has been through a lot, pressed, hard pressed, you know, look like it has been crushed. But every crushing is bringing out its unique fragrance. Every crushing is bringing out the strength. When God sees that though you have been crushed, you have been battered, things have happened bad, but you are saying, I lift up holy hands and I worship. God feels the aroma more than the person who just received $1,000 miracle and said, thank you, Jesus. God said, yes, I did it. That's why you're talking. Then this one said, thank you, Jesus. God said, Kai, that's why the fact I didn't do it, you're talking. Something has to happen to that one. Is anybody getting what I'm saying here? So don't get to that place where you say, God doesn't need my own. He doesn't need me. God needs you. So the first thing that God is looking for in this dispensation is that God is looking for somebody that will stand the gap between God and men. He said, I could not find. Instead of watching men encounter the wrath of God, you live in a community where there are all manner of people there. As you come out of your house, you just see people smoking and drinking, living a terrible life. In the night, your street is like a club. And every time you are cursing the people, useless people, look at how their lives waste. Very rubbish people. No, God is saying, I planted you in this community so that you will see sin and stand as an intercessor against it. Your prayer will count for this one. Why? Because you are there and you know what is happening to them. You just see young boys and girls. You see many young girls out of wedlock everywhere, just hanging around. They are so everywhere, so scattered. And you are telling yourself, I will pack out of this community, rubbish community. Before you pack out, intercede. Drop a seed of intercession there. Let your prayer be heard there. God is looking for men that will pray, but you are complaining. You are complaining when God is saying, I put you there for a season so that you will give me the seasoning that will change the whole game. So a reason. Are you getting what I'm saying here? So don't complain when you find yourself in a place. Ask yourself, how can I serve the purpose of God in this place? What will I do that will bring glory to God? What can I do now? I know that I will not be here for too long in this community. I know that God will change my status and make me a bigger person. But before I leave here, what can I do? Then you get to the community of those who are very great and big also. And you see that big men have big troubles too. So wherever God plants you, there's an assignment. Wherever God plants you, there's a purpose. Am I communicating, church? Am I communicating, church? Yes, a good intercessor that can help so that the anger of God will be averted, so that the wrath of God will be averted. Peradventure, God is planning to destroy the whole people. Peradventure, they are going on the path of destruction. God is saying, I need you. I need you to stand the gap. I need you to do something for me. Job chapter 9, verse 30 to 35. Do the NIV for me. Job chapter 9, verse 30 to 35, NIV. Job chapter 9, verse 30 to 35. Is somebody been blessed already this morning? Yeah. If I wash myself, even if I wash myself with soap and my hands with soda, Go ahead now. You would plunge me into a slime pit so that even my clothes would detest me. Go ahead now, we're going to 35. He is not a man like me that I might answer him, that we might confront each other in a court. If only there were someone to arbitrate between us, to lay his hand upon both of us, someone to remove God's rod from me so that his terror would frighten me no more. Now what Job was saying is that look at what I'm going through. If there is an intercessor somewhere that would have prayed for me, all these my friends, they are gathered here, Elihu the Buzzite and three of them, and they're just blaming me. Job, you are such a useless man. You must have done something bad. You always claim to be righteous, but look at, danger has come upon you now. You are suffering. Look at boil all over your body. Look at how bad. If I were you, I'll be smart enough. You better start apologizing. I'm crying. And instead of you to intercede for me, you are shouting. And you know, when people in the situation of pain, when you attack them, you add more pain. You add more pain. So they were adding pain when they should have come to Job and said, Job, you know what? We don't know whatever has brought this upon you, but trust me, Job, three of us are going to be behind the scene and we will intercede for you. We will pray for you. We don't know what it is, but we will pray. And Job will say, thank you. At least, no matter the pain, when somebody tells you, I will pray for you, there is a level of comfort. There is a level of joy that you find. But these guys were just crying there and they were talking all manner of terrible things and Job felt the pain. So from his pain, he wrote this. He said, if only someone would stand the gap and pray for me so that God's hand will be lifted from me. Meaning that if Job had an intercessor that day, maybe the assignment of Satan would have expired. Peradventure, there is an intercessor that will rise in your family and end the plague. If only somebody will stand and say no more. Child of God, I came to pray that the purpose of God for your life to stand the gap, may he open your eyes to see it in the name of Jesus. One day, David stood up and he numbered the whole of Israel. And when he numbered it, God said, who sent you to number my people? I didn't ask you to do that. Why did you do that? And the Bible says the anger of God kindled against them. And an angel stood up and he started going from camp to camp and was slaying men. At the point, he had slain about 186,000 people thereabout. And the Bible says David was crying and saying, God, what exactly will happen next now? Why would you not do something about it? And the prophet showed up to David and he said, David, you should know what to do. A man to stand the gap. Intercession can quench any fiery anger of God. Intercession can stop that sickness. Intercession can stop that pain. And David said he rushed to the threshing floor of Haran and he asked for an animal and he said, give me. The man said, take it for free. Just save us. And he said, no. I will not give to God an intercession that does not cost me. Your prayer will cost you your time. Your prayer will cost you your distractions. Your prayer will cost you staying and kneeling. But God says, I want it. Because it will cost you. I use it to make a change in the world. Then immediately David paid for the animal for the sacrifice. He brought it to the threshing floor of Haran. And the Bible says as soon as he slaughtered the animal, a man to stand the gap. What if David had said, God, it's okay. I know you love me. And you have told me that there is a sure mercy of David. I know I will never die with these people. Kill all of them. And I will own all the whole land. I and my family. Now, David would have done that. And God would have just said, he wouldn't even listen. The angel would just continue. Then one day they would just come out. You don't need burial ground. They were all rotting there. And it's not David. He would just move temporarily. At the end of the day, they would clear everybody. And he would announce that, King David of the whole kingdom. What would your life, what sense will your life make if you are the only rich person in your family? What sense will your life make if you are the only safe person in the whole community of people who are unsaved? What sense does it make that you are the only person doing the right thing and everybody's doing the wrong thing? No. God wants to raise more people, but he's saying that you have to be the intercessor. Somebody say intercessor. Intercession takes a lot. I heard people say things like, ah, what do pastors do, sir? Eh? Yeah, they say they are praying, they say they are pastors. They don't have any work. You, come and join. Let's do Monday. There, no problem. Come and follow me. Let's do. I'll give you my schedule. Let's run it together. I'll show you messages that you are going to prepare. I'll sit down with you. We're going to pray. By the time you do the first 6-3 hours in the morning, then we in between the day, we hit another one. Then in the night, we hit another one. Then you ask yourself, why should a human being be praying 3 to 4 or 5 hours a day? Is it madness? And I say, that is the work. See, Bobo, do we have to do that? Yes. Men always ought to pray and not to faint. When all of you go to work, who will be praying? God has divided all of us to do our assignments in a unique way. When everybody disappears and dangers are averted in your business, death will be averted. Who's standing the gap? Intercessors. So that's even a special privilege that God has given to us to do that. And we count it joy that we are privileged to do it. But some of us in your office space, it doesn't have to be 3 hours. It doesn't have to be 4 hours. It might be 10 minutes every day that you dedicate to say, God, I'm going to pray for this community where I do business. That more general businessmen that love God will arise. That on Sundays, they will not be telling me story of how they were watching match all through Sunday. But they will tell me of how they had the hand of God in their services on Sunday. That's what I want to have as a discussion. Lord, turn the heart of my friends in this business. Turn the heart of my colleagues in this business. Lord, may they not continue the way they up. Just 10 minutes, then you shut down. The next day again, 10 minutes. Listen, a drop of water can make a mighty for an ocean. Just a drop. Put that drop of water there. Just put it there and leave it. Overnight, you thought it was going to be low. You came in the morning and discovered that water has spilled from the bucket and it has touched every other place. Just little here and little there can make the difference. Is anybody getting what I'm saying here today? Tell your neighbor, serve God's purpose. Well, you didn't say it well. Can you say serve God's purpose? I told you William J. Simon was praying 4 to 5 hours every day until the Azusa Street revival broke forth. There's no revival that has happened in history that is not as a result of the prayer of people. Africa is safe today because white people left their country in their comfort, in their snowy environment, and they came to the scorching sun of this desert land. And at that point, it was called a dark continent. And some people will wake up tomorrow morning and they say, you know, this is a lie. They came to deceive us. They came to carry gold. With your gold, what were you doing? Did you even know the gold existed? Let's even forget about the fact that they are exploiting us now. But at least they came and they did something for us. They brought the gospel of Jesus to us. Civilization. Many of us would have been walking half naked on the streets with leaves on your chest. Just imagine yourself. Close your eyes and imagine yourself. God forbid, you see. Somebody prayed. Somebody interceded. David Livingstone went to South Africa and he prayed and he made intercession strongly. And at the point, one day, a lion was coming to attack the people at night. And he came out and he brought his gun. And while he was trying to shoot the lion, he had a major injury. He lived all his life till he died with that injury. That's how people intercede. That's how people gave their lives and they made sacrifices. And that's why you see some of these dark nations, they eventually received light and the gospel of Jesus Christ started spreading there. God needs an intercessor. Instead of complaining about your family, start praying for your family. Instead of complaining about your community, start praying for the community. Instead of complaining when you come to church and say, this potter's church, anytime I come, there are some people, they usually dress half naked. Hey, I don't know. In fact, start praying for them. And as I'm talking, they are here until everybody's here. Your prayer might just be what God will look at, and somebody will stand before the mirror and say, open the wardrobe and bring something different. And from that day, God will say, I've changed your story. You are now a model to appear well. Many people do things ignorantly. If only somebody would tell them. Instead of somebody will pray to God and say, God, touch that. If I don't have a relationship with that person, how will I get that person? I will talk to God who created that person to find a way to talk to that person so that there will be a change. Am I communicating this morning? We don't have to attack everything directly. You can use intercession as the tool and the weapon to hijack it from that side. Because there are many good intentioned people carrying out bad acts. I tell you the truth. If only they knew what they were doing. Many people, good intention, but bad attitude. But you might just pray and God will just touch their hearts. And tomorrow you are shocked that the person you were going to criticize and shout because you were praying, the person comes up and he says, God, touch my heart. I have had an encounter. You say, what? I say, yes. That is how we serve God. Is anybody being blessed by what I'm sharing today? Number two, God needs somebody that will preach the gospel to a dying soul. That is the purpose of your life. What is the purpose of Christianity? There are many people who have been in church for 2-3 years and they can't preach any gospel. I beg you, it is not a good thing to do. It is an embarrassment to the faith that you are born again 2 years, 3 years, even 6 months. Your first assignment after salvation is spiritual growth. And in the curriculum of spiritual growth is preaching the gospel of Jesus. Learn how to preach the gospel of Jesus. In Romans chapter 10 verse 13, it says, how would they hear without a preacher? Romans chapter 10 from verse 13 now. Let's put it there. It says, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. Then he said, how then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how then shall they believe on him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of what? Good things. And the Bible says, well, how will they preach if they have not been sent? Then before Jesus left, he said, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creation. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. But he that does not believe is condemned already. So what must you do? Go and preach. Go and preach. If I ask us today as a church and I say, how many of you in the last 3 months have intentionally preached to one soul, specifically planned, I'm going to preach to somebody today and you did it. I might be embarrassed at the number that I will get. And that's the church of Jesus. And that's the people who gather every Sunday in many churches all over the world. And they're just waiting for the pastor. And they're saying, let the pastor just prophesy. I receive, prophesy, I receive, prophesy, I receive. Even when they say mantle, they say I receive. They don't know the meaning of the mantle. You say mantle, I receive. If the mantle of David Brennan falls on you, will you survive? If the mantle of Mary Spencer falls on you, that went to Calabar and stopped the killing of twins, she risked her life. They wanted to kill her because they said that she was part of the wicked people that wants to stop their beautiful culture. Beautiful culture of killing twins. Some of you who are twins in this service today, you'd have been used as suya and barbecue. Somebody came and prayed and preached the gospel to them and said, that's a lie. That's a lie. That's a lie. That's a lie. No, that's not true. This is a biological occurrence that brings two identical, sometimes and non-identical. And they said, no, if they come at there, it's a monster. Look at what we have believed. The gods of your fathers. Ignorant gods. But people that have exposure came around and they risked their lives and they cried and they prayed and they bled. Some of them died of malaria. See, the malaria you treat very easily right now. Very easy. You just know what to do. Then the drugs were not there and they were not used to herbs. If they do concussion for them, they say they will not drink. Because the white guys don't want to drink those rubbish. So they prefer to die in their malaria. But they were preaching the gospel everywhere. And you are in a comfortable air-conditioned environment. And your friend in the office that is there that does not know Jesus. Both of you are enjoying air-conditioned together. When there is going to be fire-conditioned later for somebody. No, it's not fair. Preach the gospel to that person. Am I communicating right this morning? Is somebody getting the truth this morning? You sit in a business environment where after some time, something is happening and maybe there's a time to reach out to your friend or your colleague and you say, they are big people, you know. God has blessed us. We are big people. I cannot talk. No. Jesus Christ went the extra mile and he has called us to go the extra mile. Many big people in the Bible look for Jesus. Joseph of Arimathea looked for Jesus and he had relationship with them. Christians, you must learn to have relationship with people at the level where you are per time. There's nobody that is too small. There's nobody that is too big that will not be rich. Go around the street and see many ignorant, beautiful damsels of Zion in many campuses all over the world and see the age of them. These guys do. But I'm saying that really poverty can be very terrible. And people are tired of being poor. That's why some of them do not have a superior reason. If you give them faith as a superior reason to stand, maybe they will stand until they are able to establish what God wants for them. But every time we criticize them, every time we attack them, every time we shout, and God is saying, I need somebody that will preach truth to them in love so that they will come to the kingdom. So that they will come to light. Just imagine Jesus Christ looked at Matthew the tax collector and said, stupid guy. You reach well, a very useless guy. Don't come to my crusade though. I don't want to see you. But Jesus looked at Matthew and he said, Matthew, follow me. Eh? And you think Jesus didn't know Matthew? That he was scamming people? Every time the tax is supposed to be 200 naira, Matthew would tell them it's 700 naira. And immediately, Jesus didn't even talk about the problem. He didn't even address the issue of him being a criminal. Jesus just said to Matthew, just follow, let's continue. I will come to your house. And by the time Jesus came to the house, was it Matthew or Lazarus? You know, two of them, tax collector here, this one our rich man too. You know, and after the discussion, after the preaching, after everything, they ate together and they left. The guy called everybody, says, I collected $250. I'm going to return your money. And we're like, why? Somebody would have thought that that guy would die broke and poor. No, his name entered the gospel book of record. This is not Guinness. Guinness ends here. Gospel continues. Are you getting what I'm saying? The woman did the same thing. So you make yourself available. You want to preach the gospel to somebody. Tell your neighbor, I will preach this gospel. You didn't say it because I need. If I say I receive favor now, it's loud. Tell your neighbor, I will preach this gospel. If you did not say it, say to yourself, God help my life, I will preach this gospel. Yes. You were created to preach the gospel. You might not like this message that I'm saying, preaching right now. So it might not sound like the popular, beautiful thing that somebody wants to hear on a Sunday morning. But child of God, listen to me. This is the message that can change everything. You are an ambassador for the kingdom. You are light that shines in the midst of darkness. He says you are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hidden. You cannot be a Christian and take some part of what the Bible says and leave the other part of what it says. Everything together, you have to take the gospel. Hook, line, and sinker, everything together. Swallow it and start practicing it. Pray for people. Preach the gospel of Jesus to them so that light will shine upon their heart. Your younger brother needs Jesus. You are born again. You walk to church every Sunday confident and you leave him at home. That's very wrong. You are the owner of a business and the boys that are serving you, they don't even know anything about God. And you're going to just say, guys, I don't go. I'll meet you guys later. Or you tell them, wash clothes, do this. No, nobody wash any clothes on Sunday here. Everybody, are we ready? Yes. Have you forgotten that rich guy in the Bible called Cornelius? The Bible says Cornelius and all the soldiers that were working with him, they saw the character of Cornelius, the kind of life that Cornelius was living. The Bible says that his prayer and almsgiving got to heaven. Then God sent an angel to go and speak to Peter. And where Peter was, he said, Cornelius is a different man. He's a captain. He's a major centurion, meaning that he controls a large number of military officers. He said, but that guy is a different person. Look at the man. He said, go to his house. And when they went to the house of Cornelius to preach, everybody in the house was saved. Not a single soldier was left. All of them. Why? Because of Cornelius. So you're a business person where you are. Your boys that serve you, they should be saved. You own a business, a fashion store. You have 3, 4, 5 ladies working with you. Preach the gospel to them. Preach the gospel to them. It doesn't lower the standard of your business. Everybody knows. Anybody that comes late, they pay fine. They still pay the fine. Amen? Everybody will be fine. But preach the gospel of Jesus to them. Show them some acts of kindness and love. And let them know that the light of the gospel is shining here. That is why I am here. Am I preaching fine to somebody this morning? God is looking at you. Next one. God needs somebody to be an example of a believer and a model of a godly relationship and marriage. That's where I will end. Be an example of the believer and a godly relationship and marriage. Why do people have less examples of quality fathers? It's because the fathers that are available, many of us are not even ready to model it. Many men don't have time for men. Men have time for women. Trouble you? Men should have time for men. Men should help men come out. Men should minister to men. Men should be a blessing to their fellow men. But most of the times, men are always looking for something else, something extraordinary. Why do you want to get married as a young lady? You want to get married and you're just rushing around. You don't even know the kind of man you want to marry. Can you do the gospel with that man? Can you build a godly family with that person? What kind of lady do you want to marry? Can you do the gospel with that person? Can you raise quality children with that person? Just think of it. God is looking for people that will help because he wants to populate the face of the earth with kingdom principles and kingdom values and kingdom families. And he says, I'm counting on you. Listen, these things that I'm preaching, the benefits are dangerous. But many people want just a small benefit now. Let's continue. No, I will teach you something that when you hold it, you will... Listen, wisdom is teaching eternal truth, not teaching things that entice the heart of people. You didn't hear what I just said. Wisdom is teaching eternal truth. Things that 10, 15, 20, 30 years later, people will know that I heard the truth. Not just telling somebody something, they wake up 5 years later and say, that's how they are. Oh, this church, they scan somebody, they don't tell the person the truth. Nobody has that. I'll be here for a long time. I want to preach something that any day I see you face to face, I'll say, I told you the right thing, man. You do it. I'm not going to be scared that somebody's pastor is just there. Huh? What did I say? Everything I have said, there are principles that will shape a family, not only a family, generation 1, generation 2, generation 3, to the 4th and the 5th generation. Look at yourself and ask yourself, what kind of person am I becoming? Aquila and Priscilla in the Bible. The Bible says that Aquila and Priscilla, they saw a man, Apollos, preaching the gospel, but he wasn't getting it right. And as husband and wife, they partnered in the gospel and they showed him the way. Are we here together? Let me show you Aquila and Priscilla, then I wrap up this service. Has somebody been blessed already? Are you sure? Are you sure? Are you sure? Are you tired of the message? No, don't be tired. Don't be tired. Don't be tired. Can we look at Acts of the Apostles? I think that's where it is. Acts of the Apostles, chapter what? 18, is that? Acts of the Apostles 18, 1 to 3. Let's look at it together. Acts of the Apostles 18. I think that's where it is. Is that? 1 to 3. It says, so Paul still breathing. After these things, I departed from Athens and Corinth. Athens and went to Corinth. Uh-huh. And I found certain Jews named Aquila, born in Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome. And he came to me. So because he was of the same trade, they stayed with them in the war and worked by their occupation. They were what? Tent makers. Another translation, if you check down, the translation said they became partners with Apostle Paul. They became partners. That's verse 3. There's another one that has a translation. I don't know where it's TPT or NIV or NLT. It says they became partners. Paul lived and walked with them. Can you see that now? They opened their doors to Apostle Paul and they said, come and live and walk with us. Don't worry. Then one time in the book of Romans, Paul now said they took care of him. Go to Romans chapter 16, verse 3 to 4. Romans chapter 16 now, verse 3 to 4. It says, give my greetings to Priscilla and Aquila, my co-workers in the ministry of Christ Jesus. In fact, they once risked their life for me. I am thankful to them, and so are the Gentiles. At the Gentile churches, Aquila and Priscilla, husband and wife, doing the work of God together. God needs husband and wife. When husband and wife do the work of God together, it blesses the kingdom. So those of us who are married, husband and wife, come into church together, serve God together. Let your children see model Christianity together. Let your nephews, your neighbors, your niece, your cousins, everybody say, we want to be like this. This is what a godly marriage is like. Not fighting and quarreling and beating and breaking somebody's head. No way. That's not the kingdom. God needs somebody. Young ladies, guys and girls, you are in relationship. God needs you to model a quality relationship. Not that you'll be doing wale wade, you know, entering the house at night and coming in the morning. But don't do that. Your neighbors are confused. They don't know whether you are a Christian or you are a Stienkri. They are confused. Because on Sunday, they'll say, oh, shabba, rabba, babba, babba, babba. On Friday night, that is a hypocritical life. And I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice, you will not live that kind of life. We will not be that kind of people. We will be a community of righteous people that will present the gospel of Jesus with our character, with our marriage, with our relationship, and our parenting. In the name of Jesus. Oh, do you know the peace of having your partner serve God with you? The peace, the joy, the glory of having your partner stand by your side, and we will do this thing together. We will do this thing together. We will make Jesus proud together. We will make the kingdom of God expand together. We will go all the mile. Then you grow to be grandparents, like the grandparents of Timothy. The Bible says Paul was speaking. He spoke to Eunice and he said, Eunice, the faith that was inside of you, I have seen it in Louis. From Louis rather, or to Eunice, which of them, you know? From Louis to Eunice, from Eunice, it has passed on. And now you have a son called Timothy. And Timothy is a third generation believer. That means the grandmother served God. The mother served God. They gave birth to a son, Timothy, and his son. God. The Bible says one generation will commend the work of God to another generation. I believe you are the one that will raise that generation. She will not give birth to vagabonds. She will not give birth to street urchins. She will not give birth to strangers on the road. In the name of Jesus. Rise up on your feet this morning, church. God needs somebody. God needs somebody. God needs somebody. God needs somebody. Is somebody saying, I am here, God? Can you say, I am here, Lord? Say it, I am here, Lord. Don't go too far, Jesus. I am here. Don't go too far, Jesus. I am here. You're going to pray from your heart and say, Lord, use me. Lord, use me. There are many people, the story of what Nigeria used to look like when things were beautiful and godly lives, if they hear it, some of the young people that are jumping up and down, if they hear it, those of us who are 50 and above, if people hear the story of what things used to be and what it is now, and you tell them well with a heart of love, many of them would have been saved. Because many people do not believe that there was a time where people really loved God and they served God. They just want to do things anyhow. You need to say, God, I am available. God, I am willing to talk to somebody in my neighborhood. I am willing to be a blessing to somebody online. I am willing to talk to somebody around the community where I am. I will pray for the lost. I will preach the gospel. I will use my life to model these kingdom principles. I will do my relationship in a beautiful way that at the end of the day, young ladies will gather and say, teach us your ways. Show us your path. I will do my relationship as a wonderful young man that many young guys will gather and they say, guy, I love the way you do it. I want to model. How do you handle this? How do you handle that? You become a picture and a perfect example. Do you know the kind of peace it will be in your life when your son looks up to your face and he says, I'm proud of you, daddy. So proud of you. I am what I am because you stood. I am what I am because you became. Pray and say, God, help me. That's what the prayer I want you to pray. God, help me. I will not fail my generation. I will not fail my wife. I will not fail my partner. I will not fail those who gave birth to me. I will not fail you. Most importantly, Jesus, help me. That the benefits and the blessings of living this glorious, purposeful life in God, I will find myself there. the benefits and the blessings of living this wonderful life in the kingdom. I will portray it. Many believers are so drawn back when it comes to the things of God. Especially sometimes men, they are drawn back. Don't be like that. Men are the standards. Men are the ones that God is counting on. When God came to the Garden of Eden, he said, Adam, where art thou? He didn't say, Eve, I speak to men a lot. And I do it because I know God has given me a mandate for family. And if I must capture families, I must capture men. If I cannot get the heart of men to love Jesus, then it will be difficult. My journey will be hard. Every man, you have the responsibility to hold your wife by the hand and say, we will serve God. You hold your wife by the hand and say, we do it together. You don't just do that kind of Christianity where you drop your wife and you are running ahead. Any woman you fail to take forward, she will destroy you from behind. You better be careful, man. Better be careful, man. Better be careful. Women are used to listening to serpents when they are alone. When they listen to their husband every time, they will hear the voice of God. Every woman you leave alone, serpents will visit her. But every woman you carry along, before the serpent shows up, you say, get out of my garden. Get out of my space. I want you to pray. Everybody pray. As women, as it applies to you, pray. Men, as it applies to you, pray. Young people, as it applies to you, pray. Families, parents, grandparents, as it applies to every one of us, can we pray and do it sincerely from our hearts? Just imagine you have a daughter that is married in a home and they're having turbulence in their marriage, and you say, don't worry, I'm coming to visit you. And they say, grandpa is coming or grandma is coming. And you enter there, and after prayers, you begin to teach them the principles of a godly marriage. Even if your own failed before at one time, but you tell them, I have learned it now. I didn't know it then, but I know it now. I have encountered the true gospel of Jesus. I have learned light, and that's why I am here. Just permit me to show you one thing or the other with all humility and love. You can imagine the tears that will roll through the eyes of your daughter or your son, seeing grandpa or seeing her father, showing her how marriage will work, how business, how living together in peace can work. I know what I'm doing in this church. It is a generation that will arise. It is a generation that will arise. It is a generation that will arise where God will look and he will shower his blessings, his wealth, so that that family will be established in truth and in righteousness and in peace and prosperity. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. The world is not looking for more sermons. They are looking for living sermons, human sermons. Sermons that are written as human beings, written and walking around the face of the earth. That's what the world is looking for. That's what people are looking for. And you have to model it very well. You have to show it very well. You have to be a perfect example of that. I want you to pray and say, God, use me. I am available. Where I am, send me. Here I am, send me. And if the Lord needs somebody, here I am, send me. Here I am, send me. Here I am, send me. And if the Lord needs somebody, here I am, send me. Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul, I live for you.
I live for you, Lord.
Every breath that I take, every moment I'm away. Lord, have your way. Oh, Lord, I give you my heart. Yeah, I give you my soul. I live for you. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm away. Lord, have your way. No turning back, no turning back. I have decided. I have decided
to follow Jesus.
I have decided.
I have decided.
follow Jesus.
No turning back.
No turning back.
No turning back.
No turning back.
I want to pray for everyone as I wrap up the service. I'm going to pray specifically in demographics. I'm going to pray for every man, father, son, grandfather, single father. Mordecai was a single father, but he raised Esther. Say, my own failed. I don't think I can get it right. You can help. You can raise an Esther. You can raise an Esther. Mordecai had no wife. I don't know if his wife died. I don't know what happened exactly. But you see, Mordecai was just the only one who raised Esther after her parents died. And Mordecai did not molest Esther. Mordecai raised her to be a godly child. And Esther rose and became a virgin that eventually served and, you know, became the queen in the palace of the king Ahasuerus. An assignment that delivered how many million Jews when they were all condemned to death. Guess what Esther did? Esther made herself available. She interceded. And all her people were saved. Who knows if you are the one that will raise the Esther? Who knows if you are the one that will raise the young man, that young man, that young woman, that will shape the nation, that will shape families? Every man, can we put our hands on our chest first? All men first. All men. Yes. Yes. All men by gender. I know we have only two genders in this church. We don't have more than two. All men by gender. I pray for every man in the name of Jesus. That from where you are, all of us, that one seed or the other, sons and daughters, have come out of our loins. And those who have our seed trapped in our loins and will come out to be a righteous generation. I pray in the name of Jesus, all the strength that you need, the boldness that you need, the courage that you need to be a godly example. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Every man that was disappointed by the man in your own life, and it has cast a scar on you about Christianity, about faith, about parenting, about love, about raising a godly generation. Today, as your hands are on your chest, every traumatic effect, every pain, every picture, every scar that has messed up your mindset and your understanding about the purpose and the power of a man and the responsibility of a man, I declare today, let that picture be wiped off in the name of Jesus. The Holy Spirit begins to renew your heart. The Word of God begins to renew your mind. In the name of Jesus, our men will be righteous men. Our men will be purposeful men. Our men will live a life of prosperity. Our men will live a life of peace. The resources that will be needed, the finance, the wealth, and everything that will be needed to raise a godly quality family, you will not lack it in the name of Jesus. It is well with you. Ladies, put your hands on your chest. I'm going to pray with you. I declare concerning every woman here, women are helpers. Women are rod bearers to raise children. Women are the ones who stand the gap. In the Bible, many times, the Bible says Jesus needed people to support and assist his ministry. And he said, these are the women, Kai. These are the women. These are the women. They stood their ground. I declare by the Spirit of God, every woman, those of you who have seeds that have come out of you as children or grandchildren, or those who are yet to have seed that will come out, or those who are bearing seed, I declare in the name of Jesus, every seed that comes out of you, they will not be vagabonds in the name of Jesus. They will not end as non-entities in the name of Jesus. Your seed will be mighty upon the earth in the name of Jesus. As you hear this word of God, and you decide that apart from your biological children also, apart from standing by the side of your husband, your biological children, you will also raise spiritual seed. You will look around the community as a woman and intercede for that girl, intercede for that boy, intercede for the church. I pray, may the spirit of prayer and intercession that births great things and powerful things, may it rest upon you in the name of Jesus. You will have no business with women who are non-entities. You will have no business with women who have idle chatters. You will have no business with women who have empty discussions. You shall be great and mighty. Every man in your life will thank God with tears of joy that they found you in their space. In the name of Jesus, it is well with everyone. Our young ladies will be polished pillars. Our sons will be young men that are not married, will be solid protectors of our ladies, not abusers of anyone. Our fathers will be protectors of our generations. Our mothers will be protections of our family, nurturers of our seed. And we will look back tomorrow, years to come, and we say we serve the purpose of God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Can you lift up your voice and begin to thank God this morning and appreciate Him for this service? Begin to bless the name of the Lord and say, thank you, Jesus. Say it loud, thank you, Jesus. Begin to pray. As that prayer of thanksgiving is going on, you are in this church, you are not born again. You say, Pastor Mavis, I love your message so much, but I'm not born again. I've not accepted Jesus into my heart. I want to make that decision that will be the stepping stone. I'm going to pray with you. Can you raise your hand quietly? I'm going to pray with you. Just say this prayer after me very fast in 30 seconds. Raise your hand. Be bold, be confident. Don't let anything stop you. Say, Lord Jesus, today I come to you just the way I am. I believe in my heart that you died for me. I know, Lord, that you are my Savior. Have mercy on me. Forgive me of my sins. I receive forgiveness of sin and eternal life into my spirit. I declare that I am born again. I am saved and I am sanctified. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Can you put your hands together as those who know that you are going to serve the purpose of God? You're not doing it loud, church. Can you celebrate yourself? Celebrate yourself. Celebrate yourself. An army of a glorious generation. An army of people who are wealthy in God, strengthened by the Spirit, enriched in righteousness, prosperous in life. Can you celebrate yourself? Please sit up in heavenly places. God bless you.
Thank you for listening. We are sure you've been blessed tremendously. For more of this life-transforming messages, stay connected with us across our social media platforms at PTC Center and visit our website at www.ptccenter.org. God bless you.